This has been our home base for a while, and it'll continue to be. We'll be working through Luke's gospel, and we're going to be looking at a few verses here from Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 12 today. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him not to tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray. Yeah, you may be seated this morning. Yeah, join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the moments that you have given us here. We have come to fix our hearts and our minds and our lives upon you in a fresh way today. We've come to worship you with our singing and with our fellowship and through the preaching of your word. And yet we acknowledge that our worship doesn't just take place in this gymnasium. We're refreshed in it corporately. But you're going to scatter us out of here in a few moments to continue to worship you with our lives and our time and our focus and our attention. God, we pray your blessing on this gathering. God, I'm thankful for everyone here seated in the chairs, seated on the bleachers, grateful for everyone out in Harvest Kids. Lord, we pray your blessing on everyone. God, that we would know you better, that you would draw us in more emphatically to who you are, and that we would find that the life that you have reserved for us through your son, Jesus. So encourage us, Lord. Draw us to faith, challenge us, embolden us, and send us out to trust you and to follow you and to make much of you. We pray for your blessing now as we look to your word. We're grateful, Lord, that you have given us this text of scripture today to look towards as a launching pad to deeper worship, deeper fellowship with you, more confidence over who you are and what you've done, and more certainty in how you're scattering us here in the community, that others might come to know you, that others might come to follow you and grow in maturity, to know you well, deeply, personally, and to be part of your mission. We pray our blessing again on this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you know, we've got three kids, and our boys are, man, they're fun. And, well, I got to be capped. A lot of fun. We could call them the Sons of Thunder. We've been in a lot of adventures with them. They've taught us a ton. They've continued to teach us things. But there's just some moments in time that we've had with them that really stick out. Some of them really exciting and some mischievous and others. But there was this one day early on in our time back in Massachusetts. We left Pier back in 2016, and we were in our home there in Duxbury. Kristen and I were upstairs in the kitchen hanging out and kind of preparing a meal, and things were quiet, which as a young parent can be a little like, why is it so quiet? And we continue to talk and visit. We're prepping the meal, and then we hear like laughter and chatter. And we look out the window there in the kitchen, and as we're looking out, we find our boys on the deck. And they are covered head to toe in paint. Not like watercolor, or, you know, turkey handprints, you know. Like, we're talking, like, house paint. And I'm like, holy cow. Like, I'm like, oh. We laugh, and then we cry. We're like, what do we do? And they're, you know, so we go out there. They're trying to come in the house. We're like, no, you got to stay out there. And they're having fun. You know, they're laughing. But then it sort of dawns on them that they're messy. And, like, they need help. They need some cleaning. They need some assistance. And so the fun aspect of it sort of wears off, and they're trying to walk in. We're like, no, you can't come in. We pick them up. We get them hosed off and cleaned up. just total chaos. In fact, when we sold the home and came back here to Pier last summer, there was still little gray footprints from the boys on our porch. And so it didn't deter the new homeowners from buying the house. But they made a mess. It was memorable. Just putting it frankly for us this morning, life is messy. It can be difficult. We'll find ourselves in predicaments. We'll find ourselves in situations that we get caught up in. People will sort of lean into you and hurt you and bring you into something. And then sometimes there's self-induced messes as we wrestle with sin. And in a moment, you're trying to sort of process what's happening and kind of work through it. And the reality is you kind of come to the end of yourself acknowledging, like, I need some assistance. I need some help and some cleansing. I need some guidance. And ultimately, we will look in different places for encouragement or comfort or cleansing when we're kind of going through the messiness and the grittiness that can be our lives and our sin and the lives that we're a part of. At the end of the day, Jesus is the only one that can help. Jesus is the only one that can provide meaning, cleansing, life, rescue. And at times we'll kind of spin our wheels and kind of run around in the different things we're walking through. And we look here and we look there. And more Jesus is ready and available and waiting for us to yield and turn, that he might do what Jesus can do and what only he can do, which is bring life, bring cleansing, bring forgiveness when it's needed, and it's so needed. The one that can provide victory and rescue for us from our sinful ways and our struggles. Come to Luke chapter 5 again today, and we're looking at verse 12 and following. And we find a gentleman who is desperate for Jesus and desperate for his rescue. He's turned every which way. He's looked into all kinds of solutions that would argue. And at the end of the day, the only one that can provide the breakthrough that he is needing and the rescue and the cleansing that he is needing is Jesus. I need to remember this, and we need to remember this. He's it. He's our source. He's our healer. He's the king. He's our rescuer. He is the one that can transform us, the one that can purposely lead us through the grittiness and the challenges and the mess of life. It's Jesus. And some of you are here this morning and things are going smooth and things are going well. It's been a great season of peace and victory. We too, with the same desperation as this man with leprosy, need to lean into Jesus, praise him, walk with him, depend upon him. Certainly there's desperate moments in life where we just fall at his feet, begging for his guidance and his comfort. But there are those seasons that we need to highlight where we're on the mountaintop, where things are just, it's smooth and it's wonderful and there's peace. The Lord is still inviting us into that deep fellowship and connection and just this desperation to know him, to be close to him, relationally tethered to him, no matter the season, no matter the time. Look at verse 12 here in Luke chapter 5. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. There's this gentleman that is dealing with a skin ailment, something quite heavy and difficult. And so he came to Jesus. He pursued Jesus. It's this interesting dynamic. Jesus' ministry had launched. He'd been healing people. He'd been laying hands on people. People were struggling with all kinds of ailments. He was casting out evil spirits, demonic forces out of people. Jesus provided a miraculous catch for some of the early followers of the nets of Simon Peter and other fishermen. Early followers of Jesus were supernaturally filled with a catch of fish. Their nets were ripping and water was coming onto their boats to the point where their boats were almost sinking. Jesus was doing these miraculous things, and he was teaching with great power and great authority, and the people were gathering around. The influence of Jesus was growing. The ministry of Jesus was having phenomenal impact. Jesus was making it clear that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies, namely in Isaiah 61:1 and part of verse 2. The people are crushing in and crowding in around him, and this man with leprosy, either at a distance saw Jesus do something radical, heal someone, or heard Jesus teaching with great power and authority, or caught good word of the potential Messiah that had come for their rescue, and as a result, with great concern, with great desperation, and as we'll see, with a measure of faith and hope, comes to be near Jesus. Dr. Luke here gives us this detail here. He says, a man full of leprosy, this simple term that we translate in English as full means this gentleman was covered in leprosy head to toe. This simple word indicates that this wasn't a mild skin ailment, but that this was a radical, debilitating skin episode that we call leprosy. Leprosy, absolutely brutal, uncomfortable, various levels and variations of it. It would cover people. Man, that crackling, I love it. I love it. I gotta trim the beard again. I think that's the issue. Bear with me. Thank you, guys. Head to toe, discomfort, often spreading, often raw, open skin, burning, itching, very unsightly. Beyond the discomfort, people were alienated. Someone with leprosy was deemed unclean, and they were sent out of fellowship and out of community. They were ostracized, not in a hateful way, but in a religious sort of spiritual way. They needed to be set apart to sort of contain the matter and to work through the matter. And so this is a guy that was struggling mightily, but not only physically was he uncomfortable, he was cut off from people that would embrace him or hug him or sit with him or break bread with him. There's leper colonies all over the ancient world, and still even in our day in certain parts of the world, there'll be these communities, these leper colonies, people dealing with things that are incurable, unsightly, uncomfortable, would go and dwell and live. And so this is a guy that was cut off in many ways. If you want more of the background on this, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 gives us the undertaking, the background on the laws pertaining to those with this challenge, a skin ailment and issue. The law made it clear that those struggling with this ailment had to have their garb a certain way, they had to be sort of unkempt, and they would actually go around when they were anywhere near those who were clean, that were not dealing with leprosy or other issues, would actually have to announce, unclean, unclean, unclean. This guy was struggling physically, relationally, from a communal standpoint, and just the shame of this as they tried to process and gain health and gain cleansing so that they could be part of fellowship and community again. And so this guy, desperate, is putting his neck out on the line, going amongst other people at a safe distance because he's desperate for Jesus. There was no medication. There was no other thing that could help. So this man, full of leprosy, approaches Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him. I'm seeing a little bit of a pattern here. Simon Peter fell at the knees of Jesus in a boat that was taking on water amongst this crazy catch of fish because he was in awe of what he saw through the work of Jesus, the supernatural work of Jesus, who just caught all of this fish for them, just brought them all into the nets. And he understands he's in the space and in the sphere of someone powerful and capable and supernatural. And now Luke gives us the same detail of humility that this one dealing with the leprosy hears of Jesus, knows that Jesus is in a certain location, comes to Jesus, but then in just this moment of elation and with great sort of concern, falls on his face, falls prostrate in front of Jesus, belly down, legs down, arms out, falls on his face before Jesus. He begs Jesus, says begs him, referring to Jesus. This leprous man is begging Jesus. What does he say? Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Desperate faith. Bold faith. Messy faith. Like some of us come in here today and like life is just like, we're just all taped together, maybe. And you've got the scarring and the bruising to prove it and to show it that things have been difficult. And yet by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, there's this conviction that Jesus is him. That he's the hope dealer and the life giver and the one who can cleanse and the one who can make sense of the thing and the one that can lead you. There's just a sense of like, I'm here. Just dangling by a thread, but I am here, and I believe that Jesus is the one. That he miraculously has given me life, that he's forgiven me of my sins, that he has been with me every step of the way. Some of you just come like a puddle. Expectant. Hope-filled, yet broken and still in process by the Master. This man took a journey, an uncomfortable journey, falls before Jesus, and he just says, if you're willing, if you so choose, if you so desire, you can make me clean. No ambiguity. No uncertainty. Just boldly proclaiming what he knows Jesus is capable of. Turn to Jesus today and tomorrow, next week, next month. By the grace of God, it's Christ, the King, our rescuer, our healer, the one who has spoken us into being, the one who gives life. It's him. Repeatedly turn to him, lean into him, surrender in worship to him, fall down before him in heart and in life. Here's the tendency things are going smoothing. On the other hand, in another season, and we think we've got this, we've got it figured out. You know, man, things have fallen in line. Like my vision and my dream for my career or my family, like it's falling in line. And the tendency is to sort of walk parallel to Jesus, kind of in some proximity, but only to kind of fall headlong in moments of desperation when things begin to crumble or there's a loss or there's an illness. But Jesus is inviting us into deep communion with him day in and day out, where our dependence upon him is like the air we breathe. Like it just, we need him. Here's a wonderful thing. I don't know where how you grew up or what you were taught. Sometimes we were taught things in religion that we just focus on God's anger and on his wrath, and we think that it's sort of, I gotta have it all together, and maybe then, you know, like maybe I can sort of have this relationship, or I can, and yes, God is a just God, and his wrath is real, and yet his mercy too is real, that he invites and he rescues and saves. This idea of God just sort of, you know, creating and speaking it into being, and then being so separated from us, and we have to walk on pins and needles and on eggshells and all those things. We can approach him in confidence through Jesus with humility. But this is a God who wants to track with you and walk with you, fill you with hope and courage, provide you substantive, man, that's a word, true, real, robust faith in him, in his son. Everything went haywire, as we see in the early days of Scripture. Sin came in. Everything went just off the rails. Everything got flipped upside down in a broken way. But from that time, God in his mercy has been making a way to restore what had been lost and what had been broken. Our relationship that was severed by sin and corruption has received a remedy, and that is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the one that lived the flawless life, the one that died in our place, is risen from the grave and leads us into new life as we turn to him in faith and repentance, so that Jesus could bring us back into the fold, into this close connection that is not just this side of eternity, but it's an eternity to come. It's in the glimpses of the kingdom now that's being established, but it's going to come to full orbed fruition when the kingdom is fully established in the near future, when our King returns. This is a God who's breaking through. A God that in humility is pursuing you and has come to do life with you. Messes and all, sins and all, so that you might be healed, cleansed, forgiven, restored, so you can walk in a new way with him. So our gentleman here dealing with the leprosy says, I know you are the solution. Could you heal me? Are you willing? Would you? Verse 13. Guys, don't miss the weight of this. Jesus stretched out his hand and he touches this gentleman. Ceremonially, this guy is unclean, untouchable. Like the priests that would interact with him would do it with caution and care. And again, if you want the background, Leviticus 13 and 14 will give you all of the stipulations and all the regulations. But this was a gentleman that was an outcast, just cast out of the camp, out of community, not embraced, not breaking bread, like just ostracized completely. And Jesus here as the great high priest, as our great physician, as Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has pity, as Mark tells us in his account, Mark 1, he says, man, Jesus had pity or compassion on this man, and he laid hands on this man. He touched him skin ailment in all, the nastiness and the heaviness of what he was walking through, Jesus was not afraid to lay hands on this one, breaking custom so that this guy could be set free. And this is precisely what Jesus does for us spiritually around our sin and corrupt. Our sin separates us from this wonderful, holy, gorgeous God. And yet, the Father sent the Son into our reality. Into my corruption, in my filth, and my sin, and yours as well. So that by his grace and his perfection and his rescue, we might be cleansed of our sins. We're not all wrestling with physical leprosy, but all of us are born, sadly, in a condition of sin. But Jesus willingly entered into the pit of despair and our sin. And he's provided forgiveness and healing. It's what he's provided on our behalf. It's not my performance. It's not your performance. It's the fact that God in his kindness pursued us and called us to himself. His flawless nature, and his perfect life, and his sacrifice would be accredited to us. That our sins don't define us. That our past mistakes are not our identity, but that we would have this true new identity in Jesus who conquered sin and death on our behalf. Jesus is willing to pull near us, to come to our rescue, to set us free from the things that are hindering us and holding us back and causing destruction in our lives, namely sin. So Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched him, saying, I will. In other words, it's my desire and my will to heal you. I will heal you. Be clean. Two words, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus willingly breaking custom here, laying hands on this gentleman as the great high priest, our great physician, right? This true healer and rescuer and savior lays hands on him, embraces him, and he says, yes, it's my desire to heal you. And he says, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. It's interesting, a lot of times people would be sent out of the camp and they'd spend 7 days away and then they would come back and the priest would evaluate them and look them over, and if the growth had ceased, if sort of there was healing that had taken place or discoloration that had gone away, they would deem that they were heading in the right direction. But typically when someone was coming through leprosy and things like that, there would still be markings of the leprosy. And they would continue to evaluate and to watch and to watch and to watch until it dissipated and there was evidence of healing there. And through all these different processes, then the person could come back into the fold, little by little, into community. But what Luke is saying here, with the thrust of what he's saying, is immediately the leprosy left him. And the idea is that the one that was full of all of these challenges from head to toe is now completely healed. Hair color returned to normal. the boils and the blisters and the burns and the itch and all of the stuff, the flesh that was, all of those things, all of that was gone because Jesus is the God of the universe with the authority to heal and to rescue and to provide life for this guy. Look at verse 14. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. Jesus says, go to the priest, follow the ritual and the pattern and the law. Go and follow it appropriately. Go to the priest. So the priest would be there again to determine if things had progressed or if things were stopping and there was regression of the illness. The priest would lead them through this. There's a whole cleansing process that needed to take place. There'd be two birds. One would be sacrificed, and then the blood of that one and the fresh water of that with the hyssop and the cedar wood, that would be put into a concoction, and then they'd be sprinkled seven times, and then two lambs and a ewe. All of these animals would be sacrificed. Blood on the earlobe, the thumb, the toe. Again, look into Leviticus for the background, all of this. This whole process. Shaving eyebrows, shaving beard, shaving, like this whole thing. This heaviness, this whole process. At the end of the day, the priests were limited like me and like you. But this gentleman falls before the Great One. And he's not limited in any way. He's not hindered in any way. Nothing is beyond his capability, his abilities. And the leprosy was removed completely. Go to the priest. Go through the process that was commanded through the law. It's good. He didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, every jot, every tittle, to complete it. Go and fulfill that process. I wish we could go back in time for a moment to be there with this gentleman as he went before the priest in his community to see their expression or their response in that moment, because the one that was plagued with the skin ailment now in some ways was unrecognizable to them because he was completely whole. No more blemishes, pock marks, none of those things. Jesus, the ultimate priest, had healed him. Trust in Jesus. Turn to Jesus. He's a God working miracles on the daily. Not always at the timing that we want. It doesn't always look the way we want. In fact, some of you have wrestled in the faith because you begged the Lord for healing. You begged the Lord for some type of victory. And it was not with come. It was just delayed. It didn't happen the way you were hoping. And in those moments, we have to remember that he is faithful, that he is good. That as much as the world's trying to position us as if we're gods, we are not. He is, and he understands things that we don't. If things were flawless and smooth always, if things always happened on the timeline we deemed that were right, why in the world would I ever need Jesus? I don't want to sound trite, but I do want to say I do. I feel for you. Some of you are going through it. I don't want to sound just sort of Pollyannish this morning. You just have to understand that the Master is with you in the suffering. He He's with you in the disconnect. He's with you in the isolation. He's with you in all of it. Don't let the delay in his response be a reason to run. May the heartache and the confusion and the challenge be a reason, like this man with leprosy, to repeatedly fall in his grace, to repeatedly turn to him. Like, tomorrow's Monday, start of a new week, and already you're just mentally preparing what's on the schedule, what's tomorrow. Prayerfully, in your heart of hearts, determine with Jesus, like, Jesus, as long as you give me life and breath for tomorrow, and if you don't, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a lot of you. I'm going to be with you, but if I'm here, it's going to be you and in my surrender to you as Savior and Lord. It's going to be your wisdom and your guidance and your word. So we determine already tomorrow, if the Lord gives us tomorrow, to surrender to him, a dependence upon him, a clinging to him. And praise God, he clings to us and never lets go. Jesus, with pity and compassion, heals him. He says, you go and talk to your religious leaders. Follow out the custom and the teaching. You do this. Verse 15, but now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. More were hearing of his teachings and his healings. More were gathering in. Verse 16, but he, Jesus, would withdraw to desolate places and pray. We touched on this a few weeks ago, but as the ministry and influence of Jesus grew and multiplied, Jesus never cut corners with connecting with God the Father, never taught or healed or ministered or developed leaders or made disciples without being fueled and connected and empowered to the Father. May we in community and may we as individuals continue to do the same. The morning comes at us fast, doesn't it? Time seems so short. But a key aspect to your life and the attributes of your life, the ingredients of your life, one of those prime ingredients must be us tracking with the Lord in prayer. Jesus models that for us. He's not just modeling it and saying he doesn't need it. In his humanity, dependent upon the Father and in this eternal fellowship that they'd always been a part of, they were constantly connected and communing. There was this eternal and is this eternal bond, and Jesus in all things was leaning on the Father, desperate to connect with the Father, to commune in prayer, and he would carve out with consistency moments to pray. May we do the same. And may we in community encourage and help one another learn to pray and teach one another what it can look like and what prayer can be and what it means for us. Like Jesus, may prayer be a proper aspect and rhythm of who we are. Daily, weekly, monthly, you get the picture. Jesus here demonstrates quite a few things. I want to highlight a couple things and we'll close here. Now, we see the compassion of Jesus. We see Jesus' willingness to get into the mess and to get into the fray. He was willing to get dirty. He's willing to show love to this gentleman. And beyond that, as Jesus heals him physically in an incredible way, Jesus restores his life after he's processed by the priest and he goes through the ritual and the worship. He was restored, able to go back into community. So not only was he healed physically, but relationally, that connection was restored to Jesus in a great way because of the sin that plagues all of us, provides a similar dynamic. He can provide restoration and forgiveness. The sin separates us from this holy God, as I've touched on. It hinders our fellowship with a gracious, loving, holy God. And yet God, in his love and in his mercy through God, the Son, and by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, provided the Son for us so that we could go from being ostracized and disconnected from the God of the universe and brought into the fold, into that fellowship that the triune God exists in. And beyond that, we get to be part of a kingdom, this community called the church that transcends who we are. It's made up of boys and girls and men and women that have received Jesus in faith, have repented and confessed that Jesus is their Savior, that they are, by his grace, following him. He was willing to lean in and to get messy, to extend compassion. In love, he was willing to restore this gentleman to his community. We don't know here in just in those verses, did he, what was the dynamic spiritually? We see this boldness and this faith. Where did he go from here? What was the extent of his life? We don't have tons of detail beyond. With boldness, he came. Jesus, compassionate, willing to get into the mess with the people and with us. We, and confidence in him, can come in bold faith, asking for forgiveness, asking for life, asking for him to lead and heal. We have access to Jesus by the love of the Father and the mercy he extends to us. Question I have as we wrap up here in prayer: are we willing to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Are we willing to get into the footsteps and sort of follow him and to walk with him into the mess of life? Are we willing to pull up along those in the community that we love that might be struggling or hurting in some way? Am I willing to roll up my sleeves? And I don't mean this in a flippant, you know, just bear with me. Like, am I willing to enter into some of the hurt? And are we willing to enter into some of the mess of those in the community and in our region? One of the big things we really treasure at Harvest is we want to be a group of people rooted in community, to do fellowship together, to grow in the faith together. We want to enter into the fray of the community with the hope of Jesus and the good news of Jesus and the scriptures. But I think in many ways we need to start here under this roof or other roofs we gather in. Are we willing to go beyond pleasantries and just sort of surfacey things? Are we willing to go deeper with one another in the love of Jesus? It's hard. It's difficult to mourn with others and to celebrate with others and to build rapport and trust where you can be really vulnerable about where you're struggling or where there's issues in a marriage or whatever it may be. Are we willing to get into the fray like Jesus, to get into the nitty-gritty of life with one another here, also in the community? I think it starts here. We want Harvest Church to be a ministry that is focused on Jesus in everything. We want Harvest Church to be a community that is worshiping and following Jesus. We want Harvest to be a ministry that gathers but then scatters into these different pockets of society where it's difficult, where it's hard, where there are people that have no other avenue or place to turn. We want to meet them there with the grace of Jesus, in the love of Jesus, not saying we're holier than thou or that we have it all figured out, but just so we can introduce our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers to Christ the King, the one who does transform, the one who does forgive, the one who does heal, and the one who does restore. Jesus, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you that you are a King that came to set it straight. A king that, in an appropriate way, challenged the system of the day by extending love and a hand of compassion, and in a couple words, provided healing where healing was not found previously. Thank you for being a God that shows up, gets into the trenches, provides life, provides cleansing and healing. Thank you for being a God that provides rescue and forgiveness of our sins. Jesus, we rest in you. We find our all in you. We find our life in you. Our faith is in you. You are our everything. And Lord, may we just continue to follow you, and may we build rapport and build trust in and through you here in the community, that we could pull together in the hard stuff, that we'd be available to one another in the messes and in the challenges. And Lord, that we would do the same as you send us and you point us to various needs in our families and in our neighborhoods, that we would, in your guidance and in your leadership and with your compassion and courage, may we be those that are willing to step in, to extend compassion, to meet people in their brokenness and in the moments of grief and hurting, so that they might receive your love, be encouraged by you, and may come to know you more fully, or come to know you for the first time. God, we thank you for just these moments you've given. God, I pray your blessing on everyone gathered here, those that couldn't be here. Just scatter us out well, Lord, to make much of you. We pray for our students heading back to school tomorrow and our educators going back to guide and to care. Give them supernatural courage and strength. Give them wisdom. Give them patience. God, may they shine brightly for you, for your glory and the encouragement of many. And God, we pray your blessing now on our fellowship and as we go into this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Yeah, linger a little bit, hang out. We've got some fellowship goodies and things like that. If you want to get connected, fill the connect card out. God bless. Have a good week.